Get your Bibles if you will, and if you can stand with me, stand with that good old King James Bible, and let's read from this wonderful, beautiful book tonight, 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 5, we'll begin in verse 18. We can preach from all these verses because it applies, but look at verse 18. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Rephaim means the valley of giants. The valley of giants. If you want to mark some of these definitions, I'm a word definition guy. I look them up before I preach them. And so I've done my homework on it already. Verse 19, David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless," what's the next word? "Deliver the Philistines unto thine hand." And David came to bear, the Bible said, Bel Perazim. And David smote them there and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as a breach of waters." Remember that phrase. It'll be in my introduction. A breach of waters. Therefore, he called the name of that place Bel Perazim, which means the hill of breaches. In other words, God came upon them like a dam that broke loose, like a spillway of water that came loose, and it just destroyed all the enemy there before them. Down to verse number 20. In verse number 21, "And there they left their images. David and his men burned them. And the Philistines," look at verse 22, "the Philistines came up yet again." Man, they were relentless. They just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. Verse 18 said they came. In verse 22, "they came up yet again, spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord and said, Shalt thou not go up, but fetch a compass behind them." In other words, set up what I tell you to set up. Get where I'm going to tell you to go and get there and set up. And he said there, and they came to them against the Bible said against the mulberry trees. Remember that. That'll be my title tonight. Verse 24, "And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going," remember a going, "the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that thou shalt bestir thyself." The word bestir means to be alert, make your decision, and move. Be alert, make your decision, and move. So first of all, he tells them to set up where he tells them to set up. Now he said, get ready when you hear the sound of the mulberry trees. He said, "I want you to move. I don't want you to second guess it. I want you to move." Look what he says there. "Bestir thyself," in verse 24, the middle part of the verse. "For then shall the Lord go out before thee and smite the host of the Philistines." David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba, which is Gibeon, until thou came to Gezer, which means there was a complete victory from Gibeon to Gezer, all the way down through that valley. The Lord helped David defeat the Philistines. I want to preach from the two words there of the mulberry trees. And I want to preach on this message, the sound of the mulberry trees. The sound of the mulberry trees. I know a lot of people say in these times, keep your eyes on the Lord, and that's true. Don't forget to keep looking towards the Lord. But there's some times where we need to listen. Dr. John R. Rice wrote a book that prayer is asking. But prayer is not only asking, and I agree totally, 1,000% with Dr. John R. Rice. Prayer is also listening. When's the last time you were just quiet and waited for the answer? And said, "Lord, I'm going to quit talking now. You just talk to me." That's what revival time is all about. Waiting and listening until God moves, and then it's time to make your decision at that moment. And don't second guess God. Just do it. The sound of the mulberry trees. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, bless tonight. Use, I pray, this time. Bless my simple thoughts. Bless the preaching of the Word of God. Thank you for these folks who took out of their busy schedules to be here. America's busy nowadays, and Lord, it's not easy to be here, to be in any revival. Lord, you've given this pastor, Lord, the vision to have a revival in this church. And they've come, and then their friends have come from other churches. And I pray now you'd bless this time together. Use the message. Give me clarity of thought and speech. I pray you'd bless it with an unusual endowment of your spirit power. Thank you for every song that we heard tonight. Lord, the blessings of the music. And I pray you'd help me now to rightly divide the word of truth. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The sound in the mulberry trees. I want to begin by saying the Lord is my helper. Would you agree with that? The Lord is my helper. In times of great need, He's my helper. But I also want to say, in conjunction with that, that God's strategy is divine. God's strategy is not our strategy many times. A lot of times all we can see is the battle. A lot of times all we feel is fear. And these are days of fear. My phone rings every day. Something terrible happens. You preachers that are here, did y'all know Sammy Allen? Or of him, what a great preacher. He passed away Sunday of COVID-19. I got a call today from my wife, a dear preacher friend of mine that where my son goes to church. He had a young preacher boy who surrendered at Mount Salem Revival Grounds years ago. His last name was Mooney. And he's from Fort Wayne, Indiana. But he and his wife got married just a few, couple of 3 years now. Had their first child on the way. Went to Florida to serve the Lord. She was delivering that child in the hospital. They told her she had COVID-19. The baby was born. But she passed away this morning. Now a 27-year-old man has a brand new first infant child. Alone. I say that to say this. Sometimes all we see and feel is fear. But in the times of struggles and storms, tragedies, hard times, deep valleys, it's time to trust the Lord. What to do when you don't know what to do? Just trust God. I know it's hard, it's easy to say, but it's so much harder to live. What do we do when we don't know what to do? How do we operate when we just are locked in place? The Lord said, I want you to get behind them. I don't want you to get in front of them. The first battle you saw, He said, go before them. Head to head. I'll be like a breach of waters. I'll meet you there and you'll take them down. They went head to head with the Philistines. Little old Israel. The thorn in the flesh, day by day. All the life of the first kings of Israel was the Philistines. I mean, they were just coming after them all the time. Trying to intermarry. Trying to break down God Jehovah and challenge the word of God. Israel just kept following the Lord. As long as they let God be first, then God would help them and He'd be their victor. He told Israel for the second time, get behind the mulberry trees and stay there. And He said, when you hear the sound of the mulberry trees, now I don't know what that is, but He used these terms. When you hear the sound of a going, I haven't found any definition about what a going means. Some commentators said that it could have been army, the footsteps of army. I don't know. Some said it could have been the wind that moved those mulberry trees. I don't know. Some have said it could have been birds. This week, since we've been here, have y'all heard that story about all the blackbirds, millions of them, that invaded a parking lot of Walmart? Did y'all see that? People were running for their lives. Birds were attacking them when they got out of the car. They were just like a cloud of birds. Well, I'm sure you could have heard the wings of those birds and the sounds of those birds. And you get a mulberry tree in full bloom, and the fruit is blossomed and bloomed. By the way, I got two fresh peaches waiting for me when I get back tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God of Elijah, Abraham, Isaac, and Fig Newton. Amen. Praise the Lord. And peaches too. Amen. Thank you, Brother Olson. Hey, but those mulberry trees were in full bloom maybe. Maybe it was the birds that God sent. I don't know. I can't make that clear. What the Bible is silent about, I can't make it clear. I can't make it doctrine. But I know there was a sound of a going. Maybe it was the Lord's angels moving on them at the tops of the trees. We do know they were going to go before it. We do know that God was going to be their help. We do know that God was going to move to help David destroy the Philistines. A noise as if there were persons walking in the tops of the trees. Footsteps, as it were. I like that song. Is that footsteps out here? Is that footsteps out here? I don't know what they heard, but you could be assured as they were assured that God was going to help them. Other places in the Bible, God made the same promise. Sometimes men of God just spoke up just knowing God was going to help, like the Apostle Paul in that hurricane, Euroclidon, when he said, I believe God. Sirs, I believe God. He's going to spare us. And everybody made it to shore safely. Not one loss of life off of that ship that sank. I believe there's a God, don't you? Amen. By way of introduction, I want you to see about five P's here. The perplexing enemy, verse 5 and 18, chapter 5 and 18. Who were they? The Philistines. They just kept coming. The Bible said they came upon them, and the Bible said they came again. The Philistines, a perplexing enemy. And we have an enemy. And just be reminded, he's not going to quit. Just be reminded, he's going to come again and again and again and again. We're not the only generation that had to face these kinds of troubles. Many of you have lived through more than I have. And you've seen more trials and tragedies than I have. But in our lifetime, we've seen tragedy. 9/11. Now this. And you men have fought through wars for our freedom and our safeties. Oh, I thank God for God's help. Not only perplexing enemy, but a pertinent delivery. A deliverance. The truth is, the Bible says in verse 19 there that what was happening was the matter at hand. God was there for them all the way. He related to the matter at hand. Then the promised victory, verse 20 and 21, that breach of waters. God said, I promised you the victory. And then in verse 22, the persistent retaliation. Those Philistines as they just kept coming. And the last is the purposeful triumph. The attack. The attack was not to be from the front now. The attack was to be from the rear. I think it's kind of interesting the Lord told them to do that. Because you know how the Philistines won their wars? You know what their number one plan of attack was? Attack from the rear. Upon the weak and the weary. Upon the faint and the women and the children. And that's the way they would always attack. And now the Lord said, you're going to get some of your own medicine. Amen. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's the way he told Israel to do it, not from the front. But this time you're going to wait and hit him from behind. You're going to hit him from behind. There's no way that we can fully estimate faithfulness that allows victory. We don't know sometimes how we won, but we know God helped us to do it. We don't know how we got through some of the valleys, but we know God helped us through it. Sometimes we have to wait by strange events, like the sound of the mulberry tree. The sound of the mulberry trees. Number one, would you agree with me tonight the sound of the mulberry trees was properly deployed? This wasn't man's idea. This was God's. This wasn't man's plan. David didn't plan this. God told David what to do, but David inquired twice in these few verses that we read. David inquired upon the Lord. Lord, what do I do? Are we going to die? Are you going to help me? And the Lord said yes the first time, and he said yes the second time. Man, I tell you what, David truly was a man after God's own heart. If you know how to get your prayers answered, please put me on your prayer list. Amen. I like people who know how to pray. Amen. I like an army of prayer warriors. That's why I tell my mother all that I'm doing, because she knows how to pray. And she can get in touch with the Lord. And I'm not going to... I know she knows how to battle in prayer. And thank God. God might have used some unusual things in this chapter. Maybe it was the wind that he used. But you know, a wind is a type of the Holy Spirit. We do know the Holy Spirit is alive and well, don't we? When you got saved, you didn't get some of the Holy Spirit. You got all of him. And he's there to help you. Just like he helped in the Old Testament, he helps you in your life. Maybe it was the angels. Maybe that's what he meant in the chapter. Maybe it's the angels. Maybe they went before. We do know that they were present. We do know that God was there with them. And I want to say, my friend, God will help. He helps, he loves, he cares. Nothing this truth can dim. He does the very best for those who leave the choice with him. I sometimes have weak faith, like the old time preachers used to say, it's hard to faith it. Amen. I have weak faith sometimes. When I left here the last time before we got to see each other this time, it's been almost 3 years, November the 8th, 3 years ago. They put me on the operating table. They wanted to open me up and give me 3 bypasses on my heart. And the surgeon looked at me. He was a Muslim. I was kind of nervous because I'm a Baptist preacher. I preach against Muslim religions, not the people, but the religions. I'm not a bigot. I love people, but I don't believe in pagan religions. Amen. And we had a little talk before I went under anesthesia. He said, Mr. Taylor, are you okay? I said, sure. If I die on this operating table, I know I'm going to be taken care of. I'm in the hands of my Christ. He secured my eternity. How about you? He said, I'm talking to you. I said, I'm talking to you. Amen. He didn't want to answer my question. But I said, whether I live or die, I'm delivered. God's going to help me. Amen. I'm so glad. He asked me, said when he got through the surgery, he said, Mr. Taylor, he said, you've got young skin. I said, I didn't know that. He said, boy, he said, I operate on people your age. And he said, they don't have the flesh you've got. I said, well, thank you very much. He said, what do you accredit that to? I said, oh, I guess smoking and in West Virginia, tobacco juice maybe. He looked at me. I said, no, I don't smoke. I'm too young to smoke. Amen. I said, I don't drink. I'm too young for that. I said, I don't dip. Amen. That's right. I said, it's just maybe the Lord's good to me. Amen. Well, I know that's for sure. But he didn't like to come to my bedside after that because I just kept bragging on Jesus. Amen. Everything he'd throw at me, I put Jesus right on top of it again. Oh, listen to me, my. And by the way, now he's not even my heart surgeon. He quit and went somewhere else. And he appointed me somebody else. This guy's not a Muslim either, so I'm going to work on him too. But the Lord was saying, you don't need to be in front of the mulberry bush. And can I tell us all tonight, we don't need to be in front of it. We need to just wait on the Lord. Just listen for that sound. What sound, Brother Taylor? The sound when God moves. What do you mean? Has he ever moved on your heart before? Has he ever given you impression that you need to do something for him? Every time an invitation comes, I'm usually at the altar if I can make it down. You know why? I tell the Lord, here I am again, Lord. I need you. Here I am again. We always need to be watchful in this world that we live in. There are times, my friend, of great stress and great conflict, and we need to request God. We need to have God on our side. We need to let God have first place in our hearts. The Bible said the hearts of the king and people are in the hands of the Lord. Isn't it good to know we serve the mighty God, the victor, the one who can help us? David, can I remind you, was a shepherd king. He didn't own the sheep. He fed the sheep. He led the sheep. He was entrusted to the sheep. He loved the sheep. He protected the flock. But these were not David's people. These were God's people. Can I tell you, my friend, God's still looking after you. Amen. He's the great shepherd. He looks for us and cares for us and feeds us and loves us. And we need to develop a total, complete turning to the Lord for his guidance and help. We need to live in repentance. This poem is entitled, Those Wasted Years. I looked upon a farm one day that once I used to own. The barns had fallen to the ground. The fields were overgrown. The house in which my children grew where we had lived for years. I turned to see them broken down and brushed aside the tears. I looked upon my soul one day and found it too had grown. with thorns and nettles everywhere that seeds neglected sown. The years had passed while I had cared for things of lesser worth. The things of heaven I let go for minding things of earth. To Christ I turned with bitter tears and cried, O Lord, forgive. I haven't much time left for thee, not many years to live. The wasted years forever gone, the days I can't recall. If I could live those days again, I'd make him Lord of all. Lord of all. Oh, listen to us. We need to have a total reliance upon the Lord. In these days, we need to rely upon the Lord. When people come to you with trouble, you need to say, keep your eyes on the Lord. And listen for that sound of the mulberry trees. When enemies threaten, rely upon the Lord. When the trouble comes, we need to rely upon the Word of God for our victory. Let God have His way. David stood aside many years and waited for God's providence to work. And it finally came. Amen. It came and God blessed. Sometimes the greatest prize is won by the least among us. If you'd have told me 45 years ago I'd be here preaching this revival, I'd have laughed at you. I used to stutter real bad before God called me to preach. I know you won't believe this, but hey, God, I didn't have the gift of gab. Amen. I didn't know how to put two sentences together without stuttering and make it sound right. And I call my preaching cornbread and beans. Some people don't like it, but every once in a while you're just forced to eat it. Amen. But I like it sometimes better than I do a steak, don't you? I don't know about you, my friend, but I want God to use me. I want God to help me. I want to rely upon the Lord. I want Him to be my sustenance. So the first thing we learned tonight was the sound of the mulberry trees was properly deployed. The second thing is the sound of the mulberry trees was properly timed. God said, you wait. You don't move right now. You just get in place. Get to where I need you. You know, I believe that church is properly timed. It's a place where we can go and get ready and receive what we need from God. It's a place where there are ministries to outreach for those in the community. Not only do we take care of ourselves, but we reach those in need. Those who have to have God and those who need to have the same opportunity you had to get saved. The obligations should be what is said in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse number 3 before the Lord. Our obligations ought to be what David's obligation was before the Lord. Lord, we're going to take everything before you. Whatever you want, that's what I want. We'll never reach our aim unless we fulfill our early promise. How many promises have we made to the Lord and we hadn't fulfilled our promises? That's another reason to come to the altar. Just say, Lord, bring back to memory the things I've told you I'm going to do and hadn't done. Amen. And let's get busy and stay busy for the Lord. The lowest occupation sometimes is an opportunity. An opportunity of preparation. The highest opportunity sometimes takes a lot of preparation. You can perform duties and allow some time to be honored. But victories often are followed by many. But many victories takes years and years and years. I've been at this as an evangelist for 45 years. I've never pastored a church. I said, Lord, if you won't bug me about it, I surely won't bug you about it. Amen. And the Lord just kept me in the seat of evangelism. And I'm a gypsy. I travel all the time. I can write a book on places I've been and places I've stayed and food I've eaten. Amen. And all kinds of things. But hey, you just do what the Lord... You got to take into account and pay. And remember, my friend, there's a price to pay for what God wants you to do. And how God wants you to serve Him. But just about every day of my life, something comes my way that's a blessing to me. I was preaching last week. I told you the pastor told me that he'd gotten saved while I was preaching. I didn't even know that. Now he's in the ministry in Wellsville, Ohio. A man came to me at that night and he walked up to me and he handed me a card of a missionary. He said, I was in a meeting the other day and told him I was going to be here. And that man pulled this out. This missionary pulled this card out of his Bible and said, please give this to Brother Taylor and tell him I surrendered under his preaching. And I'm a missionary to Ghana, not Guyana, but Ghana. And he said, I want you to tell him that I'm in the ministry because he preached one night. And on and on and on. Hey, listen, you stay at it long enough. Amen. Just keep serving God long enough and God will give you a victory here and a victory here and a victory. Sometimes it's a long battle. Sometimes it's hard to stay in the battle. Sometimes you don't know what to do in the battle. But we just got to be where God wants us to be. And we got to stay where God wants us to stay. The third thing I want you to understand about it, I'm going to just say first of all with this before I end it here, that God favors the faithful. If you want God's blessing, you want to be on God's good side, just be faithful. Just be faithful. Let me give you my third point. You still with me tonight? Say amen. The sound of the mulberry trees was properly deployed. The sound of the mulberry trees was properly timed, and the last, it was properly executed. Properly executed. He said, you wait. One of the things they did before they got to this place was the images were left behind in the army in the battle before of the pagans. And David said, hey, you men, pick up those idols and burn them. Pick up those images and burn them. Can I say we need to be busy about taking care of things that's wrong in our life? We need to keep doing what God wants us to do in that area and be faithful to the Lord in that area. Destroy those things and destroy the works of the devil in our life. David enjoyed successes after seasons of struggles and trials. And God's grace is generated by your trust in Him. By your trust in Him. But overcoming difficulties depends on your faithfulness. I think one of the greatest compliments you could ever receive is when somebody takes your hand and shakes that hand and said, God bless your faithfulness. God bless your faithfulness. I mean, that's almost like saying, I'm glad you're saved. Amen. I mean, salvation lasts for eternity, but isn't it good to have somebody recognize the fact that, hey, you've been faithful to the Lord. Faithful to the Lord. God allows His purpose through struggles. Sometimes power proves our destruction. Check out Delilah and David. Check out that little boy that died. Maybe it was a little girl because it was a ewe lamb. A ewe lamb is a female lamb. Maybe that's what it was. But I do know one thing. That baby died. And the Bible called it a ewe lamb. Never was a name mentioned in the Bible for it. The Bible said all the days of that little baby's sickness and illness before he died, David couldn't eat, couldn't sleep. He made that famous statement, I can't bring you back, but I can go to where you are. And one of these days, my friend, we can't bring our loved ones back, but we can go to where they are. Amen. We can make sure that we're ready. We can make sure that we're prepared. We can make sure that we're have things in order in our life. I was 17 years old when God called me to evangelism. And the Lord said, I want you to have tent meetings. So I had my very first tent revival at 17 years old. I was a youth director at that time. And I knew God had called me to evangelism. My dad was a boilermaker. He was the president of A&A Boiler and Company, Welding Company in Dallas, Texas. And his dream was for me to go to college and take the business over someday from him. And when I walked the aisle that night, Mel Tittle was preaching. Man, what a preacher. He preached so hard he sweat from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. He pastors in Oregon right now. I'm in Portland. I feel bad for him. He pastors in that city right now. But boy, when he preached, I'm telling you, every bone in his body vibrated. And it was just our little youth department that had a youth revival. Thank God for churches who still believe in youth revivals. Amen. And my pastor was concerned about the young people of our church. He turned Mel Tittle loose on us. Mel was one of those kind of guys, he'd take his coat off and he'd throw it in the choir. Take his tie off and throw it down. Sometimes he'd walk the backs of the pews, make you nervous. All of us teenagers didn't like him, so we sat in the back of the auditorium. We had this big auditorium, and just a handful of us teenagers sit in the very back. So he'd walk out there and preach to us on our pew. I was a big sports nut. I liked to play sports, had all kind of trophies. But those trophies won't mean a thing. All that plastic won't mean anything when I stand before the Lord. Man, I just knew my parents cued him in. Totally. Brother Mel Tittle, all of my backslidden condition and all that kind of stuff. Man, did he preach. And when the invitation came, my buddy walked the aisle. His name was James Sanders. I said, "Oh God, if you could change James Sanders, would you change me too?" And I heard that sound. The Lord was moving in my heart. And I walked that aisle and I surrendered. That very night I surrendered to evangelism. My pastor made me the youth director. I said, "Are you sure about this?" I said, "These kids know more Bible than I know." He said, "Yeah, you're a leader to them. I want you to be their leader spiritually. I'll work with you." So every day after school, I'd come to the pastor's office and he'd teach me things on how to lead and what to do. I told him I surrendered to tent evangelism. He said, "You're going to have a tent then?" I said, "Sir." He said, "We're going to have our own tent revival and you're going to preach it." I said, "Sir." He said, "You go get peace about it." And I went and prayed about it. And I came back to him and said, "Okay." We called it the Sawdust Trail Tent Revival. We set up in a vacant field. There's a big shopping center there now, big mall. We set up in a vacant field. It had a big for sale sign on it. We got permission from the realtor company that we could set this big tent up. And it was so far out in the field where he told us to put it that we put a big old real wide sawdust trail all the way from the highway where people could park all the way to the tent. And we called it Hit the Trail. Amen. Hit the Trail. And we sang and we preached and we had a good time. But every day I'd go back to the pastor's office. I said, "Preacher, would you preach for me tonight?" He said, "Why?" I said, "I preached all I know to preach. I've given it all I got. I don't know what to preach anymore." And I said, "I checked myself out in the mirror and I just don't think I'm called." I said, "Preacher, how do I know I'm really called?" He said, "You'll know you're called if you can't help but preach and preach and preach and preach again. Every time you hear somebody sing or somebody preach, your heart burns within you and you want to proclaim the gospel, you're probably called to preach. But," he said, "if you can do anything else but, you go do that." But he said, "Right now, you got to preach tonight." I said, "What am I going to preach? I don't know what to preach." He said, "Preach what you preached last night. That's a pretty good sermon." So the first three nights of my first tent revival, I preached the same sermon three nights in a row. Just a young 17-year-old boy. But God gave us over 100 souls that week because we were fired up. You mentioned the word fired up. That's what we've got to be. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to keep that fire. Now, I don't think Israel was all excited about going to war for the second time. I don't think they were just ready to, you know, jump to the war and get into that fight again. But they were waiting on the Lord. And the Lord said, "Listen for the sound. And when you hear the sound of the mulberry tree, in the mulberry tree," he said, you bestir yourself. He said, "Don't second guess it. Don't wonder if that's the sound. Just get up, make your decision, and move." I've been moving ever since. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to make our decision for Christ and don't second guess it. One thing's for sure, the Bible says we need to be in church. Amen. The Bible tells us we need to tell people about Jesus. The Bible tells us we need to know that Word of God and be faithful to it. Amen. How many of y'all remember several years ago what the forecasters said, called it a derecho? It was a big, they called it a land hurricane. Right now there was a weak hurricane on the coast. It's killed some folks and it's on the Atlantic coast. But this was a horrible wind that came from your way, from here. And it was heading towards West Virginia. It was just a couple of days before our youth conference there. We were expecting 300 teenagers to show up. And we were in the dining hall as all the staff members ready to meet, and we were going to have a meal together. My parents drove all the way from Texas to be there for the youth conference because we always shoot fireworks off, and they were married on the 5th of July, and we were going to shoot fireworks off. The people that do the Pittsburgh Regatta shoots our fireworks off, and we were getting ready for a big week, and then all of a sudden, while we're having this noon meal in the dining hall, getting ready to prepare ourselves for 300 people to come in just a few hours, it got black as night in daylight, right in the middle of the day. And we could hear this roaring. We could hear this loud sound. for several minutes. It lasted for miles, this storm. And when it came, it was all wind, no rain. Just wind. No lightning. Just horrible wind. When it was over, you might have heard about this, 85% of West Virginia's power was out. The whole state. 85% of our power was out. We're supposed to have 300 people in just a few hours. The ceiling in the dining hall is a one of those ceilings that you put, anyway, space ceiling or whatever you call it. What is it? Suspended ceiling, thank you. It picked, it's 4 foot from the rafters. It was 4 foot lower than the rafters. It picked it up. The doors were shut, the windows were shut. We had the air conditioning on. But that wind somehow was a sucking wind. It picked up that ceiling and dropped it down on all of us that were there. The man that sang last night, Bill Breedlove, his first wife that he had passed away just a few months after that. A big old huge fluorescent light, a big 8 foot long one, fell right on top of her head. Miss Breedlove, Ella Breedlove. And we were scared. We didn't know what to do. All that to say this. We began to call all the churches. Wanted to know if they wanted to cancel because we had no power. And it wasn't out just for hours. And it wasn't out just for days. It was out for weeks. Weeks. And to our surprise, every one of the churches that had children coming, to the number of over 300, they all said, "We're coming." Some were driving all the way from Texas. Some chartered a jet all the way from California. And they were on their way. I said, "Well, you know, when you get here, dormitories will be hot. Services will be candlelit. We may not have all kinds of things." We had thousands of dollars worth of perishable foods, and we lost it all. The local areas began to hear about our camp. They began to come to our need. We had like 100 generators donated to us to put on all the buildings. We have over 40 buildings. We had a generator at every building. In the big places that needed, like refrigerators and freezers and walk-in freezers and walk-in coolers, they brought in these big, huge generators on wheels that were by diesel power and all of that. Not only did they bring them and set them up everywhere for us, they hooked them up for us. Not only did they pay the electricians to hook them up and set them up, but they came every day and they filled up the diesel and the gasoline and all of those generators. Guess what? We had camp. Amen. Over 40 children, 40 kiddos got saved during that time. And God helped us. Can I tell you how God helped us? He can help us again today. But folks, someday this is all going to be over unless Jesus chooses to come, and that'll be just fine with me. We don't have a problem the rapture wouldn't solve. Amen. But this is all going to be over one day. And we need to be busy. We don't need to have less faith. We don't need to have more fear. We need to just trust the Lord. And just listen for the sound. When God moves, trust Him. You say, "But it's hard." It's always been hard. It's never been easy. Just keep opening the doors and keep trusting the Lord. Keep coming to the altar. Let God have His way. Shall we stand, please? Thank you for listening tonight. Maybe you're in your spiritual derecho. Maybe we all know we're in this COVID-19 together, this coronavirus together. And some of it's gotten close to home, hasn't it? People you know, people I know. A great preacher died Sunday. And other preachers have died from it. But we're going to have to just wait. We're in this thing together in a battle, and we just got to trust the Lord. I wonder tonight how many would say, Brother Taylor, I know God's in control, and I'm going to just keep listening for the sound of the Lord in the trees, as it were, spiritually. I'm going to let God move my heart whenever I need, whenever He needs to. I'm going to trust Him and serve Him, move when He tells me to. I don't care how hard it is. I want to do what He tells me. My hand is raised. How about yours? Yes. Yes, and God bless you. Thank you. Put your hands down. How many are saved? And you know it beyond any doubt about it. You know for sure you're saved. Hold that hand way up high. Saved and you know it. Give a good hearty amen tonight. Amen. On a Tuesday night, would there be anybody here that would say, Brother Taylor, I'm not saved, but I sure don't want to die and go to hell. Would you pray for me? I don't know that I'm saved. I've got my doubts about it. Would you pray for me? Hold your hand up like that tonight. Just would you do that? Anybody? All right. I want everybody to look at me. I want you to understand tonight, no matter what happens, it could get a lot worse. I mean, what we're seeing against our liberties and what we're seeing against our history and what we're seeing about culture, all of these things have broken our hearts. And it's evil. Evil is trying to steal our country right now. But we cannot give up on God. We cannot. If anything, we're going to have to promote the Lord even stronger and be at work for Christ. In a minute, the pastor's going to come. When that music plays, I want you to, before the devil talks you out of a blessing, I want you to say, Lord, I may not be able to attack it from the front, but if you'll help me, I'll move when you tell me, and we'll attack from the rear. Whatever we got to do, but we're going to win this thing with your help. God bless you tonight.